NORAD channel. This is a Class 1 emergency. All civilian traffic is barred from streets and highways. Stay in your homes. Stay in your homes.
Live from the Forbidden Book Group studio in Doppeltown, USA, it's Necronomipod with your hosts, Mike Stoffel and Mike Mancara. Episode 46, R.L. Stein's Superstitious, the story of a man who should have kept his horseshoe in his pocket. And now, a Necronomipod.
R.L. Stein,
as
already been mentioned.
R.L. Stein's
in the opening
all grown up novel, Superstitious.
Superstitious.
Has he written any
very
other?
Very superstitious.
Oh yeah, I think we know what the closing music is going to be.
Writing on the wall.
So, has he written any other grown up novels?
I have no. Actually, I have no idea. I just my first gander at him was at the back of your book, and I'm thinking he's Woody Allen's little brother.
Yeah, he might be.
With bushier eyebrows.
Bushier eyebrows and
a higher forehead.
Higher forehead.
And a little bit of a child molester. He's a Hebrew child molester.
Well, possibly. But
let me read you a scary story.
So I had no experience. R.L. Stein is most famous, of course, for making gajillions of dollars pumping out Goosebumps books and other mm-hmm. series, I think. And there was a TV series for a while.
There was. He had other series of books, too.
Oh yeah, he's got. I mean, he's still cranking these things out. Having read a single Goosebumps book, I can tell you that they're not hard to crank out.
Really? Are they formulaic?
Oh yeah.
Are they like the?
Well, actually, you know,
are they like the Lemony Snickets?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, I think Lemony Snicket is more humorous.
No, not after I've read 12 of them.
Yeah, no, they start
after
to repeat.
12. You're like,
yeah, okay, enough.
It's like the Danielle Steele of.
Of children's horror.
Horror.
Yeah. Having read, well, actually, I only read one, but I'm guessing that they're rather formulaic and repetitive because I see the formula repeated in his grown-up book, Superstitious.
Oh.
Which is what we're reading here today.
So what would you say the formula is?
Well, he's got this annoying habit of the cliffhanger end, of the cliffhanger chapter ending.
Oh, yeah. Was pretty much almost every other chapter.
But the worst part is the cliffhanger chapter ending. The first thing you find out in the next chapter is that, oh, it was just a mistake. It was really just your friend trying to scare you. Or it was
like the cat jumping out.
Yeah, or it's
like
a cat jumping out. Or it's a broom, not a scary lady with you know. It's just ridiculous.
Well, you know what I noticed, too, is that he would describe, it would be the murder would happen. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then it would cut.
Yeah.
And then there'd be the poor policeman having to describe the parts, the body parts that were laying around. Almost every time somebody was murdered, that's how he would.
Yeah. There was much of this book that annoyed me.
Ooh, really?
Much that annoyed me. One thing that
I would have thought you'd lap this up like a cat to cream.
Oh yeah, absolutely. This is like you know, I'm a big fan of premium ice cream.
This is like Blue Bunny.
But if somebody bought me put a big dish of Blue Bunny in front of me, I would eat it probably even faster. And then feel just awful afterward.
With that fake waxy fudge.
Yeah, the waxy fudge and the puff full of air. And that's kind of what this book felt like to me.
It was hard to get into.
It was
easy to read through,
yeah.
But it was hard to get into.
Yeah.
It was hard to even care.
I didn't care. I just read and 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 read, and then it was done.
I thought the murders, like, I did like the murders, though.
Murders were pretty gruesome.
They were pretty gruesome.
I liked the overall, like the monster, the whole, not the plot, but the way that the reveal was sort of, I had no idea what was going on until the end. What was causing, who was
oh,
who the
yeah.
monster was. There's a lot of red herrings, pretty obvious red herrings.
Herrings.
I could really go for some red herring right now. And at the end I thought, he's observing all these superstitions religiously to keep his demons at bay. You know, it's
I wasn't quite sure if it was his demon. At first, I didn't know if it was the demon in him or if there was like something, you know, like the Hounds of Baskerville, there was something sort of cursed and following him.
Yeah.
Which it was in a way.
Yeah, in a way it was, yeah.
And then you thought maybe it was the
Dean of Students. Yeah, the big bulky, the hulking guy with the Andy Warhol hair.
Here's the other thing about this book that I thought was kind of funny is like, ooh, R.L. Stein, he's going to write an adult novel, so he's got to put a lot of swears in there and something about jizz and some kind of like really.
So there's lots of sex. It starts with sex.
Yeah, it starts with sex.
And then some pretty serious gore.
Mm-hmm.
And then more sex. And then some more gore.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And more sex and more gore. That's pretty much it. Everything else was just a Goosebumps book.
That's it, really.
Pretty much. The characters were pretty thin.
Yeah.
And the most annoying character was the police chief, who never grew even an inch.
He never solved the crime.
He didn't do nothing.
He didn't even try.
He just needed some eyes there to describe the crime scenes, which he probably didn't even need.
I did love it that the main character was a sister fucker. At least you thought it first.
And why wouldn't you?
Every novel should have a sister fucker.
That's right. Well, yeah, that's right. There's a little bit of incest, implied incest. Yeah.
Plincest.
Plincest. At plincest. And, but I don't know. This is going to be a tough one. I am not invested in this book at all.
Damn it.
Why are you?
No.
No, I'm not. This is very thin.
How many more minutes do we have? We've done 10 minutes.
I know. Well, do you know?
Let's try to get to a half an hour at least.
Well, sure. One of the things that this book did remind me of, in a positive way, that I kind of enjoyed is this is the first college book that we've read since Conjure Wife, and it.
You like it when it takes place in a university.
Well, no, I kept thinking back to it, and I'm like, you know, this is actually kind of a kind of a cool genre of book, you know, the campus book.
Yeah.
And this works. You know, you don't really get the sense that anybody's going to class ever.
No, writing papers or
lecturing or any of that. I mean, they talk about, you know, I have to do this next, but I'm going to have sex instead. Or I'm gonna, you know, call my girlfriend and talk about having sex instead, but nobody ever really goes to class. And then she just marries right out of school anyway. I mean, she's just like, you know, that stereotype. You know, I'm gonna go to school to find a man. And she does.
No, it's just like Felicity.
Felicity. Oh, I never watched that.
You know, I think the only thing I really appreciated in this was learning all the different superstitions.
Yeah.
Which were really annoying, but I think it was supposed to be annoying, but it was really annoying.
Yeah.
And then...
I'd heard of many of them, but many of them are like, what the...
I don't know if they were made up or... I have no idea. And then...
I had the sense that R.L. Stein had a collection of superstitions on his shelf, and he was just reading through and picking them and dropping
them in the plot. Just plugging them in.
Yeah, wherever they fit.
Yeah. I did appreciate the murders. I think the murders were the best murders that we've had in a long time.
Yes.
I mean, skulls ripping and
patches of hair.
Patches of hair.
And ears being torn off and
being eviscerated.
Eviscerated, you're having your spine broken.
Yeah.
Bent over backwards.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were pretty, and they were well described, I will say.
Yeah.
And it wasn't too much, but it was,
and it was always from the victim's point of view,
and it was always done really deadpan.
Yeah.
You know, you'd be reading along, and she's walking across the campus. There's a noise in the bushes, and suddenly part of her scalp was missing.
Mm-hmm.
Which was a good way to do it. He never wavered. He just let those descriptions.
And it was enough sort of in shadows that you couldn't tell exactly everything that was happening. Yep. So that's I liked that the most. And I thought, and as I was reading that I thought, oh, I bet Mike's enjoying that.
Those were Those are fine.
But like, the rest of it was...
The stream of consciousness writing, so annoying. So annoying.
What do you mean the stream of consciousness
writing? Oh, you know, when our heroine is scared, Sarah, like at the end here, she'll say stuff out loud and she'll say stuff to herself and she'll say it again, you know. Here you go. You didn't lie to me, did you, Liam? You didn't lie. It isn't all lies, is it? No.
It's just some lies.
Just some lies. You know, these short little paragraphs where it's just, you know, stream of consciousness is hard to do well, I think, and this proves it.
I like to ask this question, and maybe it's the most apropos for this book, since you know, what would have made it better?
What would have made it better?
If you were his editor or his like friend and you were reading the first draft, you're like, oh, RL.
Yeah.
Really?
What would have made it better was to develop the characters more, but with fewer characters, more better developed. That would have made it better for me. Toning down the stream of consciousness writing, and just, you know, as plain spoken as he was in the murder scenes, he could have done that equally well in just like the fear scenes, like the you know, I don't know what's around the corner scenes, or oh god, what else? I don't know, what do you think?
I thought taking, because it's so obvious, it was obvious to me that the demon was inside of him. I think it would have been better to have it something chasing him or something else that was outside of him that he was having to kind of keep at bay rather than something in him.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I think that, but I just do. I just think it would have made it I don't know.
I also think his character, Liam, you don't find out enough about him
to care.
But you get the sense that
he's a baby.
Yeah, you get the sense that he could have, that there could have been, without too much effort, you know, he could have been more fully developed, more fully drawn.
Never got the sense of why he was so appealing that people were sort of dropping dead over, like drooling over him. You know?
Oh,
you
I know why. Apparently, they explained
the Irish accent.
It was the Irish accent and the fact that he kept pushing his hair back and it kept falling over his eyes. Super sexy. Super, super sexy. So I'm told.
Emo.
Emo.
Professor Emo.
Captain Emo. And, so that was an all so very annoying. But by the same token, you know, once I finally started reading this book, I read it in 2 days.
Yeah.
Books that I care a lot more about of the same length take me longer.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a paradox, really.
What was your Goosebumps book about?
The Goosebumps book? Okay, so I went to the library and I typed in Goosebumps. And I just started looking at titles and I tried to find the goofiest one I could find. And so I got Goosebumps number, I don't even know which number it is, Say Cheese and Die.
The cover is very funny. It's like Skeletons at a Barbecue.
Skeletons at a Barbecue. Apparently, there's several sequels to this actual story. It's about a kids sort of breaking into an abandoned house next door that somebody's living in there, squatting in there. But they're poking around and they find this camera, a sort of a Polaroid camera. And when you take a picture of somebody with it, the picture comes out and it shows them in trouble or hurt. And you're never quite sure if, and then, you know, then sooner or later,
does the camera cause this?
You're not sure if the camera causes it or is simply predicting it.
Oh.
And so it's very juvenile. Really, really juvenile. and the thing that I realized, that I guess I'd forgotten is that, you know, we haven't gone for very many episodes. We haven't talked for very many episodes about, J.K. Rowling. So here we come again. what a miracle the Harry Potter books are, because writing young adult or juvenile literature,
it's hard.
It's really hard.
Because people just think if they can be juvenile, they can write a juvenile book, yeah. But you really can't be.
Yeah, and this, I mean, these books were, I understand that they're for young readers, and that's fine. But this was, it was childish, it was babyish. And it was not, there was nothing a grown-up could get out of this. It was simply a waste of time for anybody over the age of 13, I think.
Wow.
Yeah. I will never read a Goosebumps novel again. It was just dumb. It was just dumb.
I mean, the story sounds like it would be pretty good. Like a Polaroid camera that...
Yeah, but it's not done in any interesting way at all. You can see what's going to happen a freaking mile away. Oh, I took a... And the kids are dumb. They don't make intelligent decisions. Harry Potter makes the best decisions he can. He's not an idiot. These kids are idiots.
Ghost stories for dummies.
Yeah, ghost stories for dummies is what they are.
For and by dummies.
Yeah.
For and about and by dummies.
Yeah, so... and I don't think the Goosebumps phenomena... I think that phenomena is all done.
Oh, is it?
I don't know. I haven't heard about Goosebumps in a long time. But, I mean, because it was huge.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the 80s?
Yeah, every kid the 80s and the early 90s. Every kid of a certain age in the early 90s was reading Goosebumps and collecting Pogs. Remember Pogs?
I do remember Pogs. Maybe it went the way of Pokemon.
Yeah, Pokemon's still around. But
I don't think it's as big as it was.
Not as huge, you know. But, and I was reading these concurrently. And so they reflected very badly on one another. There was no synergy.
I think it's fairly, what is the word I'm thinking of? Whatever. Damning that, you know, here's this guy trying to write an adult novel and it isn't. Much further along than his kid novels.
Yeah, not really.
And just because you throw a fuck in there every once in a while doesn't make it...
Yeah.
And it really seemed like that's what he... It was so obvious.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm writing an R-rated book. Oh, yeah,
exactly. Exactly. It's like, oh, I can use all these spices here on the top shelf.
Right, exactly. But you shouldn't put cumin with... with tarragon.
Tarragon
doesn't go.
Arrowroot.
Nobody cares. Yeah.
Yeah, here's this annoying thing, the cliffhanger. End of chapter 10. As he glared down the unfamiliar dashboard, the station wagon swerved to the left. "Dad, look out for that truck," Greg screamed. Chapter 11. Horns blared. A powerful blast of air swept over the station wagon like a giant ocean wave, pushing it to the side. Mr. Banks swerved the station wagon to the right. The truck rumbled past. Over and over and over again. But, you know, if you have your school bus ride to school in the morning and you want to read a chapter or two, are you trying to find a similar one in the grown-up book?
I'm trying to, but all I'm getting is so easy, like unmaking a bed. Oh, cracked her neck, fingers deep into her throat, around to the back of her neck.
But I'm still alive!
But I'm still alive! Ripping the skin down her back, grunting and wheezing, such delight. Peeling the skin off, peeling it all off.
See, that was good.
That was pretty good.
That was pretty good.
I didn't mind that. It was gruesome.
That's the first murder, yeah. Yeah, so, but, you know, by the same token, you know, if you're going to pick up this book, like the edition you have is just like a mass market paperback, you know, an airport paperback.
And it was a dollar.
And it was a buck, yeah. And you want to just pick up something to read on an airplane? This book is fine. It's extremely satisfying. You read that sucker down on your airplane ride. You get to your destination. You throw it away. In the garbage can. Or, you know, you leave it on the shelf of the condo that you're renting.
Liam in bed with Margaret, his sister.
Dun, dun, dun.
Margaret leaned over Liam. Her bare breasts fell out from her, from under the sheet. She squinted into the light, cleared her throat, and then spoke softly. Oh, Sarah. Sorry.
So sorry.
And what's the next character?
No!
Sarah let out a howl of protest. Liam in bed with Margaret. Margaret in bed with his sister.
Dog sleeping with
Sarah breasts. Stared at Margaret. Sarah stared at Margaret's breasts, pressing against Liam's bare chest. Why was Margaret in bed with Liam?
See, that is freaking belaboring it.
And naked, too.
In bed, between the sheets. New sheets. Still in bed. 400-pound Egyptian cotton.
Where did you get those sheets? How much were they?
I'm going to have to freaking do the laundry again.
Margaret's breasts. The breasts of Margaret.
In bed with Liam, my husband.
The brother of Margaret. Margaret is a sister.
My sister-in-law.
The breasts of Liam's sister, Margaret. Breasts.
We're only
sister.
We're only exaggerating a little bit,
but it's not too far. So yeah.
Belaboring.
So, yeah, I don't recommend it. It's his freshman. I don't recommend this.
Yeah, part. He gave it a try. And you know, he had enough pull. He's making. His Warner Books.
And I really wonder if he came out with another adult book.
You know, I was trying to figure it out. Went to this to the Wikipedia page, and there was no real mention of it that I could find.
He really buried this book, and
yeah, I don't think it was a resounding success. That first 12-year-old pulled it off his dad's shelf and started reading it and came in and started asking all the wrong questions of dad, mm-hmm. and. The resulting scandal killed his grown-up career, probably. Who knows?
Or maybe some parent bought these books for their kids, thinking it was another Goosebumps.
I know, kind of like, I always imagine. I would like to have been the fly on the wall of what it must have been many living rooms when mom and dad had taken the kids to go see Hairspray. And wanted to go see some of John Waters' other movies, okay. And bought home Pink Flamingos for the family. Oh, yeah. I really think that would have been awesome.
Or Mondo Trash?
Mondo Trasho.
Yeah.
Or Female Trouble, or Desperate Living. Any of a number of movies would have done
the trick. John Waters, he's so endearing.
It's about a pink flamingos. It's a magical story.
He's eating shit! He's eating shit! She's blowing her own son.
It's an asshole. A talking asshole. Anyway. Yeah, that was some good vamping there. You know what I need?
What?
I need a cocktail. All
right, it's cocktail time. It's
cocktail time. All right, so what's our cocktail?
Well, you masterminded this.
All right. I'll tell you the later. I'll tell you what it's called after I give you the recipe. What you want to do is you want to take like a double shot, like a shot glass.
But he's holding his fingers.
Like a double shot glass, you know, not like a single shot, but you can get those doubles.
Right.
Fill that with almost fill it with chilled Grey Goose vodka.
Yes.
Has to be Grey Goose.
Yeah.
And then in a thimble, literally a sewing thimble.
Get a sewing thimble.
Yeah. In there, put a little bit of Harp. It's an Irish beer, Harp beer. And take that and drop it right in.
Now do it quick because thimbles have holes in them.
Some do. Many
Some
don't.
Do.
Most yeah. don't. Drop it in there and then shoot it back just like you would a cannonball.
But don't swallow the thimble. Don't.
Do not swallow the thimble. It's really important that you not do that.
It really is what did you say? It's an insult to both.
It's an insult to both the beer and the vodka. And we're going to call it Grey Goosebumps.
We apologize to the makers of Grey Goose
and Harp Lager.
Yeah. There you go. Chin-chin. All right, downstairs.
we'll take our time.
Okay, let's meander down into the. We haven't even been talking about the book.
I have a very very definite idea of what I want to read.
Oh, all right, because this was my idea.
Yeah,
I really pick some stinkers, don't I?
No, well, you pick this next one too. I'm just going to formally agree to it.
Okay,
as long as we're down here.
All right, let's head on down to the basement.
All right. Well, a couple of weeks ago, you mentioned that with the Lovely Bones coming out as a movie, we should finally read this book.
Lovely Bones.
I think we should.
Haven't we read Lovely Bones?
You may have. I've never had.
Oh, I have read it, but I would like to read it again.
Yeah. No, I want to read it. Boy, it's Alice Siebold's. I think it's her debut novel, but you know, it was a huge bestseller. Everybody read it when they weren't reading The Kite Runner, or Bee Season, or The Tao of Poo,
or that other one,
the
one by Carol Shields.
Oh, The Stone Diaries.
Stone Diaries.
Yes, yeah. Or Push. So we're going to read it too, because one of my favorite all-time horror directors, Peter Jackson, is about to drop his movie version of it, and I'm kind of excited about it.
When's it coming out?
Christmas.
Cool.
Yeah, so we should, I'll be ready to record this when I get back from Germany.
Very good. Yeah. But we're going to do it all in German.
We're going to do it all in German.
We're going to do it all with the four German words that I know.
We're going to do it all in lousy German accent.
Oh, Dieter. Well, let's head upstairs after being in the basement. It's so cold.
It's so cold.
All right. Yeah, this is called Quick and Dirty, isn't it?
Yeah, Quick and Dirty. We don't want to take up a lot of your time. We don't want to take up a lot of our time.
I do want to point you in a direction of a couple of things, though. Sure. Apparently, The Wolfman's coming out as a movie.
Yes, with Benicio del Toro as the Wolfman. Have you seen a preview for it?
No, I heard the preview was boring.
Oh, I disagree. It's very suggestive. It looks pretty good. I love the fact that it's a period piece. It takes place in the late 19th century.
I like that.
Yeah, I think that's going
to
be...
That's better than the modern. The modern's been done to death.
Yeah, because the modern one's been done to death, and once in a while they put Jack Nicholson in it, and it's much, much worse.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, remember that? That was awful.
That was grueling.
Grueling. I did kind of like I have mixed feelings about the New Moon movie, which I saw recently, but I did like the wolf parts quite a bit.
Both parts were interesting. I wanted, you know what, frankly, from the movie alone, I really wanted to know more about the wolves.
Yeah, and we find out some.
Yeah. Everything just happens, everybody's just thrown in so quick. They make little guest appearances.
Yeah, and you know, they come on
what
screen.
What a waste of Dakota Fanning is what I think.
Oh, well, she was one of the Venturi.
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 The Venturi.
The Venturas. She was the one with the feather boa and
living with Jesse. Reality series. Jesse knows better.
He usually does.
Jesse Ventura is a vampire.
You'd be a good one.
I really want to drink your blood. I can't do a good Jesse Ventura, so that was just stupid. I just did right now. You do a good Jesse Ventura, don't you?
Not as much as Matt did, because he did the head wobble and everything. Listen, you have to. I can't.
You can't.
You have to cut that out. All right. Good.
I do want to. So I want to point you towards that, and then I'm also reading this series. I'm actually on a tape called The Magician. Magicians. It's called Magicians.
Is that who wrote that? Lev Grossman.
Lev Grossman.
I've heard about this.
So
it's supposed to be really good.
Well,
no,
it's not bad. In fact, we might want to read it for.
All right,
we might want to read it for the podcast. I won't say too much about it.
Yeah,
except I think again, creating a world that's interesting.
Yeah,
pretty hard too.
Yeah,
so some worlds are sterile. Mm-hmm. You know, it's my same thing that I've said about. The Apprentice series, that, you know, it feels sterile.
Yeah.
It feels like the characters and there's just these people inhabiting this world, and it's very
cardboard. You can see, it's like whenever the characters move into a scene, it's like a Potemkin village. You know what that means? It's just there. It's like they're drawing the map as they're walking through it.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's all these elements that could be very interesting, and they kind of are, but they kind of aren't.
Yeah.
So I think it might be worth a read, just because
let's look about it.
Adult version, and there's some horror elements to it. And I would recommend it. I would recommend it just as an exercise.
Yeah.
because you know, they're because it's not it's magicians, but it's not set like in a you know, in the world of Ankh-Skabad,
in a world where men are actually mice,
and mice are actually elephants, and other elephants are cubes of sugar.
And poodles rule them all. Comes a man. Alone. Sorry.
Bearing gifts. Of sugar and spice. Sugar and spice.
And a bowl of rice. You know, before, when I...
So anyhow.
When I uploaded the last one, I went and updated the books on the table page, and I tried to put all the ones that we had that have been sort of hanging out there forever.
Yeah.
So I think they're all up there.
Okay.
And so we should think about picking off some of those too. One of them was The Lovely Bones.
Okay.
So we are actually going to pick that one off.
And the other thing I want to steer people towards is I got a copy. I was at Half Price Books and there was a $3 clearance of The Dead Zone, the TV series.
Oh, yeah.
And it's really good.
Really?
It's really.
Well, all right.
Good. So if you can watch it on Netflix or whatever people do these days.
Yeah.
I would recommend it. Give it because I think it's canceled and
it's long canceled.
I think it started in 2002 or something.
But it stars that guy.
Yeah, what's his name? The guy who was in Breakfast Club.
Yeah.
The little squirt.
Anthony Michael Hall.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, no, I wonder that's the last time I've seen him in anything. That might have been the end of him. But you know, I remember seeing them when that show was on, and I actually was a cable subscriber at the time, and I could have watched it, but I just didn't. There's just been a lot of like short-lived horror series. Like, remember the Friday the 13th series?
No.
Yeah, that lasted for about a season or so. One of my favorites, I watched every episode of this when it was on, called American Gothic.
No, I never saw that either.
Yeah, it came out in the wake of Twin Peaks, but it was a little more coherent. And it took place in the American Southwest, and had this sheriff who was probably the devil, and this whole end times battle was happening in this small town, and it was produced by Sean Cassidy.
Oh, you know what?
Yeah, I think you may have seen some of it.
Did you ever watch? Did it conclude or
no? It just ended.
See, that's a.
I know, you just have to deal with that kind of stuff. Yeah, I know, you just. That's the nature of American TV series, is that, you know, they're put out there and, you know, just to wait to see if anybody, like, follows it. And if they don't follow it, they don't care. They just cut it off. Let it die.
Yeah, that's not right.
That's why people don't watch these things. They're like, you know, why am I going to get invested in this when I'm just going to be left hanging again?
Yeah, I think that's true.
Yeah.
That's why they haven't watched Lost, but that was
But it will that will finish. Yeah. But like Twin Peaks was awful.
Because it didn't finish.
It didn't. It ended with this horrible cliffhanger that that it takes a while to get over.
Well, at least Carnival ended kind of.
It kind of ended.
It was a passable ending.
Yeah.
I suppose every what a series should do is just end, just end the season with the idea that it will never come back.
Yeah, but the British model is that you sign up for a series,
and it's 2 years or a year or something.
It's usually a year or 2 years, and that's it. You know, they air them all, and then that's it. That ends, and if it's successful, you get Prime Suspect 2, Prime Suspect 12, Red Dwarf 4. In America, they just let them hang. I saw on the Netflix the other day that they finally bought out Heath Ledger's TV series.
Heath Ledger had a TV series?
Remember, it takes place in Mythic Ireland. It's called Roar.
No, I don't remember this at all.
I used to watch it with Jenny.
Was it any good?
It was actually okay.
Was it like it was mythical or something?
Yeah,
or?
It takes place in pre-Christian Ireland. And there's a Roman legionnaire, and young Heath Ledger is Roar, who is some young warrior, and
it was good.
It was okay.
Yeah.
It was on the Xena model, you know.
Oh yeah, okay.
Yeah, it was in high Xena time. But yeah, young Heath Ledger. Didn't that guy used to be the Joker?
Was he as Xena?
No. But what do I have to point people to? Nothing really. I saw just a really super shocking movie called Dead Girl. It's a zombie movie, but it's also largely a movie about teenage male sexuality, and it is not freaking pretty.
Do they fuck dead girls?
Just one, a zombie, she's chained to a table.
Wait, we read that in something. There was a book with that. A zombie book that we read where they were doing zombies.
Oh, possibly. Maybe I blocked it out.
Yeah.
It was not easy to watch. Very, ooh, very effective movie.
Ooh.
Yeah. Using zombie as a metaphor for... zombie as a metaphor.
I think it's time for zombies to go away. I think they're being overused again.
They're being overused.
There's nothing left. The vampires have been ruined with Sparkle Magic Unicorn.
Oh, those freaking sparkles. When the sparkles come out for the first time on New Moon, I laughed out loud.
Why don't you like the sparkles? What bugs you about that?
Ridiculous.
Why?
Because it reminds me of a unicorn poster.
Well, that's the point. The thing that bugged me was that Patterson's abs were CGI'd in as well.
Oh, nice.
Because I've seen pictures of him.
I wonder if somebody can CGI my abs
in. He does not have abs. He does not have a six-pack. And they CGI'd it in.
Maybe he has like a Guinness four-pack. Anyway.
So yeah, we saw that movie.
Yeah, we saw that movie. It was actually very fun. Because the audience was very...
It was mixed because there was a lot of people our age.
A lot of people our age.
Our mid-20s.
Yeah.
And then there was a lot of people very young and squealy.
Yeah. Yeah. Lots of newly bloomed estrogen was in the air.
It was.
Yes, it was.
In secret little gay boys.
That's so true. I thought when Jacob takes his shirt off the first time, I thought my ears were going to pop because the air just in the theater just got sucked out.
It did. It's true.
Yeah, and then it all came back in one long sigh.
Anyway, there you go.
That's it. We're done.
All right. I've run out of cleverness. I need another drink.
I didn't have any. So let's put a stake in it.
Yes.
Cut off his head.
Truss its legs. Put it in the oven at 375.
For 15 minutes for every pound.
But make sure you cook. Don't overcook the breast.
Yeah. Basting will help, but it won't solve all your problems.
Make a big vat of gravy.
And stuff garlic in your mouth. And kill the taste.
So you think you see a pussycat you'd like to pet. You start to come on strong to see how far you'll get. You feed the pussycat that I'm a tiger line. You don't know that you're messing with 99. You brag about your motorboat and Cadillacs, how you cheated about a million on your income tax. It isn't till they slap you with a great big fine that you know that you've been messing with 99. There's music on the hi-fi, then she dims the light. She fixes a martini that is out of sight. Your tongue begins to loosen cause you're all alone. But that ain't an olive, buddy, that's a microphone. You're a foreign spy who wants to come in from the cold. And you've never been uncovered, you're so self-controlled. But when they find your body floating down the Rhine, that's a lesson, don't go messing with 99. 99. You're the highest paid informer for a Balkan state. On your night off, you invite her for a dinner date. But when she freshens up, you'll end up unemployed. 'Cause that ain't a lipstick, buddy. That's a Polaroid. So listen, tigers, this is what it's all about. A pussycat will get you if you don't watch out. Though she may send shivers running up and down your spine, she is doing her caressing with a tiny Smith and Wesson, and that means that you've been messing with 99.
Well, that's always been you.
Bella, it's always
mumble,
been
mumble, mumble. Angst, angst, angst. Mumble, mumble, mumble. Ennui, ennui, ennui.
Ennui, ennui, ennui.